This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Just totally unnecessary.
I talked about a time not long ago.
When people wore pajamas and live life slow. See, again, we go back to the pajama conversation.
Who wear pajamas?
Nobody wears pajamas. Nobody.
Like Cliff Huxtable wore pajamas.
That's what I'm saying. Well, they always had to wear pajamas on TV.
There's no way I'll be wearing that with Claire Huxtable.
Seriously. That's like when the kids are tucked in, it's locked the door.
Yeah.
There's no coming in the room.
I'm like DC Curry on Friday after next.
It meant the nasty time.
Claire Huxtable, old beautiful self.
We had this conversation weeks ago, and it's amazing the response we got about people who do not wear pajamas.
My dad does.
Your dad wears pajamas?
He does.
Like the button-up
pajamas. What is he, Mr. Belvedere?
Does he have a robe, too?
I believe he does, actually.
Wow. Slippers? The whole thing.
It better have a monogram on it. It better have his initials on it.
If he doesn't, you better get him some for Christmas.
I do believe he still has a robe and the slippers. I think it has his initials on it.
Wow. That's tremendous.
Your dad's a throwback.
You need to get mama to take a picture of him, unknowing to him. He cannot know the pictures. You know, like take the picture, and then we need to see this.
Your dad, you know what?
Put it on Twitter. If you have either you, a spouse, or a parent who still wears pajamas, like you're, you know, Mike and Carol Brady, and you've got like the robe, the slippers, the full pajamas, the button up, the whole nine. Take a picture of it. Tweet at Barton Hahn. We got to see this. Because I didn't think anybody did this anymore. Lacto says his dad does.
Sound like he's from the he's like traditional. He's a traditionalist.
I don't mind that.
My dad's an old school man.
Still reads the newspaper and all that stuff.
I respect the paper newspaper.
He did actually used to like buy a newspaper every single day for years when he used to take me to school.
That says a lot.
Oh, he wouldn't have it delivered. Just
no.
He's a throwback. Yeah, he go to the newsstand.
Knows the guy at the newsstand.
Pop a quarter, and the guy at the quarter had been trying to tell him it's $1.25 a year, but he just let him live. He just let him live his life because he's been coming there for 30 years. Like, bro, it's not a quarter no more, man. What the hell are you doing?
He's like, I'll let you go this time, but tomorrow it's $1.25.
It's all building up. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're also brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot.
Huh?
Yep. It's my turn today. Welcome to today's Home Depot. Outdoors get more done.
So damn cold in here.
It's hour number three, Bart Scott. What's that mean?
Means it's the power. Hour?
Hour. This show's a disaster. Aaron Judge hit home run number 62. It is finally kind of over. You could see that he had to have been getting uptight. He slammed his helmet at one point. Some of the swings were just out of control. You hope or you wonder if now he can exhale that it's done, and we'll see if that changes the way he is at the plate when we get into the postseason, because Judge's last 14 games, he only hit two home runs.
Yeah.
First 13 games of the season, he only hit one. But in between, he was a monster. 130 games, 59 home runs. For Judge, yeah, it was certainly stressful.
You know, every game is stressful. I kind of felt bad for my teammates because, every single at-bat, I got teammates, you know, stacked up. They're on top of the step, you know, waiting for me to do this. And, you know, I'd hit a double or I'd walk or I'd do something. You know, I kind of felt like I was letting them down, you know. So, and even the fans, all the fans that would packed out Yankee Stadium, the fans that came here these past two games, you know, I felt like I let them down. If I had a 2-for-4 game or, you know, 1-for-2 game with a couple walks, I felt like I was letting them down. So, you know, I never tried to think about it as pressure. You know, I tried to enjoy every single moment and, you know, not really think about, hey, they're all on the feet for you to go see you hit a home run. I tried to think about, hey, they're here to see an exciting ball game and see something special. So, you know, just having that mindset kind of helped me stay pretty calm. But there's definitely a little pressure in there, but you just try to block that out.
Now, he has handled this thing well, and he got it, so the record is done, right? But I said something earlier I want to bring back, Bart, because I think it needs to be said. We as Yankee fans, we're hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And we need to be honest right now about all this that's going on. Because what is the thing that Yankee fans say all the time about a regular season like this? You win the division, you get 100 wins, or at least they're on the verge of 100 wins. And we have it's been a fun season. You've had this home run chase, Gerrit Cole with a million strikeouts. Like, you've had a fun season. But what do we always say?
I want winners.
That all that matters is what you do in October.
Chip.
It's about the World Series. It's about winning a World Series. It's about getting to one that they haven't done in over a decade. Like, we're talking about, it's been a long time since they've been there. And in the end, if they lose in the ALDS, nobody's going to be happy. If they lose in the ALCS, nobody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say, wow, that was a great year. Man, 2022, what a great year that was. No one's going to say it. You're going to be mad. You're going to be disappointed. And the season's going to end up being another frustration that you crumble up and throw in the trash can and wait until April to start new again, thinking, can you win a championship this year? So with that in mind, a lot of us, and I put myself in this because I was getting caught up in it, Aaron Judge, according to Buster Olney and several other people, has had one of the greatest, if not greatest, offensive seasons in the history of the sport. Damn near a triple crown, but still what he's done with home runs, RBIs, batting average, the whole thing, he has been phenomenal. And he's also a fantastic outfielder. And we're all like, got to pay him. Got to pay him. You got to give him his money. He's earned it. Has he? Shouldn't we step back and consider what we always say about the team? Regular season doesn't mean a damn thing if you do nothing in the postseason. So isn't now where the money-making time is really coming for Aaron Judge? Isn't this what we have coming up next week and beyond? Isn't that the most important time now for when it comes to should they give him the bag or not?
Well, you talk about hitting for the cycle, right? That's like betting on yourself, winning the MVP, and winning the Super Bowl. Last person we saw do that was pretty much Joe Flacco, right? Where everything came together.
Yep.
Now, to do that, he needs his teammates to come along to the party. Right now, Aaron Judge, you talk about the pressure of hitting, you know, 62. What about the pressure that he's had to perform in the postseason when he's coming against great pitching?
Yep.
And he's come up short. So we talk about Aaron Judge having his Yankee moment. I don't really recall his Yankee moment. I don't remember his Aaron Boone moment. I don't remember the big hit that he had when everybody was counting on him. What I do remember is him striking out, you know, being one of the last strikeouts going against the Houston Astros. You know, so like you talk about, you know, money making time. Yeah, it is, but I just don't know if they have the team that can come along to the party to set him up for one of those defining moments. You know, we talk about sometimes John Carlos and some of his meaningless home runs, you know, the tack on home run, never the pressure situation home runs. They need Aaron Judge to come through, and it needs to be one of those games or those signature moments that push them into the ALDS or pushes them like far and helps them advance closer to the step. At least they got to get at least farther than they've ever been. Right? They don't have to get the World Series.
Since he's been with the team, 2017 Game 7 ALCS is the farthest that he's ever been with the Yankees. One game away, one run away from a World Series appearance. That's the closest he's ever gotten.
Right. We forgot that's so long ago, we don't even remember that.
Well, they've been to a Game 6 as well in the ALCS. But what am I saying is that's as close as it has been for him.
Yeah.
And you're right. It does also take the rest of the team to step up. But what I'm saying is, the team could, everybody else could, you know, could struggle. Gerrit Cole could struggle, whatever you want to say. But if Judge continues to hit and perform in the postseason, you could say, all right, you know what, he did it there too. But if he doesn't and the team loses, I mean, can't you, like, don't you have to be honest with, if my take is regular season team success means nothing because it's the Yankees and we expect more? How do we not hold the same? How do we not hold that kind of same accountability to Judge's performance? It is a phenomenal year. There's no doubt about it. But in the end, what matters is what is he doing in the postseason?
It's a tough place to be, right?
Yes, it is.
Because, you know,
I don't love it.
He's a superior talent. And the tough part is he can do his job. And if you don't win, like, say one of those things that we talked about earlier in the show, you talk about Trout. And all, you know, hitting 40 home runs in almost less than a little bit more than 100 games and what that projects out to be and all that type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect winning. So, like, at the end of the day, when you become the type of organization that the Yankees are, winning championships is all that should be celebrated. That's why we talk about how difficult it is to be a Yankee fan, because you can't enjoy the regular season because they've had, 100 games almost every single season under Aaron Boone.
It is definitely,
so what's 100 games?
Yeah, that's the thing. To me, it's the consistency of if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to say that about the team success, and how do we then just say, okay, mission accomplished, you got to pay Aaron Judge when we haven't even started the playoffs yet. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your calls on this coming up, but we're going to start to turn the page now to week 5 of the NFL, and we'll do that with Sal Palantonio coming up after Bart tells you about Body Armor.
This football season, Body Armor is the choice for hard work and hydration. Whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you on top of your game with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Buy one any Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 gift card from DraftKings. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 years or older. 20. Brother.
It's been that kind of show today, man. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are joined by the aforementioned Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter, host of the NFL matchup as well. Sal, how we doing?
Alan, you got a second? I want to tell you a story.
Good. Absolutely.
I got to ask you a question. Have you ever choked on your Cheerios and breakfast? So last week, let me paint the picture. I got my Cheerios out. I'm at the kitchen table. I got Get Up on. I'm getting ready for my man Bart Scott to be on Get Up. Mm-hmm. You know, I always put a little blueberries in there because you got to eat healthy, right? Blueberries, Cheerios, skim milk,
yes.
Getting ready for Bart. And Bart says, I guarantee you the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And so my wife comes in the room. She's like, what's going on? You're choking. I said, give me the phone. She goes, want me to call 911? I said, no. I want to call Bart Scott. She goes, leave the man alone. He's on TV. I thought he was one of your friends. I said, yeah, he's my man, but he just picked Jacksonville over the Eagles, and I'm choking on my Cheerios here.
I had you nervous for a second, Sal. It didn't look too well. It started off great. But the conditions got the boys from South Florida or North Florida.
Oh, wait a second. Now, wait a minute. Now, I know you. I know how you played the game. There were never any excuses or explanations from Bart Scott, ever.
That is true. This is a team that is learning how to handle success. And clearly, Lawrence forgot that he was supposed to take
care. I love when you go corporate voice when you're trying to explain yourself.
He has to remember that, hey, that success in this league is rented. It is not owned. And Jalen Hurts and the crew came back and, you know, took advantage of 4 turnovers. I'm still bullish on Jacksonville because somebody has to win that damn division. And by the time they get to the end of the season, I think they'll figure out how they need to play and how to have a little consistency, a little inconsistency from a team that has not had a lot of success in recent history, Sal.
Okay, I got you.
I'm glad Cheerios, by the way, if they're in the throat, if you're choking, just make sure you get enough breath to last like 2 minutes because they'll dissolve after like 2 minutes in the throat. Esophagus juice gets it every time.
You know, I go organic blueberries, so you owe me an expensive box of organic blueberries, okay?
I'll tell you what, though, Sal, the spread in that game was 6.5.
That's what we're going for.
And Bart and I both were like, can't Jacksonville at least keep it close? Like, wouldn't it be close?
Yeah, well, the Eagles won and they covered. But, you know, I think, you know, and it's a happy day when you're sitting out in the rain at Lincoln Financial Field. And listen, I think the Eagles are the best team right now in the National mm-hmm. Football League. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think, you know, I saw the power rankings that came out on ESPN.com yesterday. Didn't have them, one or two had them at number 3. I respectfully disagree. I just like the way, listen, when you're down 14-0, and you score 29 and you win the game and your quarterback only throws the ball 25 times. He's 16 for 25, but you run the ball 50 times for 210 yards against the number one rush D. And I think Mike Caldwell's done a great job with Jacksonville's defense, 50 times for 210, you know, and you're missing 2 of your 5 starting offensive line. And that's good coaching. I mean, that really is. I mean, that's good coaching. It's good team football, good complementary football. I think the Eagles are playing that kind of brand of football right now.
Sal, if it's any consolation, I can get some type of respect back. I did have them in my poll as number 1, just so you know.
Yeah, we did our power rankings on Tuesday, and Bart did list the Eagles as the number 1 team in the league in his power rankings.
All right. Well, I do have him as number one. I actually, believe it or not, and it's not because it's just of recent memory, I do have the Niners as my number two team. Mm. I really like what D'Amico Ryans is doing with that defense. It's a very violent defense. It's a defense that Bart Scott can love. When you watch that defense, they are extremely voracious going after the football. Nick Bosa's playing at a very high level. Going back and watching the film after Shanahan said what he said about Bosa getting held, he is getting held a lot. And I think, you know, put that on notice for the referees, and that's only going to make that deep. They have, in my view, a championship-level defense in San Francisco, and if Jimmy G can slowly get his form back and not turn the ball over, Niners are going to be a problem for people.
Yeah, they're a bad matchup, and listen, you know, they own two organizations, like I said before. If Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears, then Jimmy G owns Aaron Rodgers, and he owns the Rams as he's 7-0. It's just that philosophy of that physicalness, and I think now we're starting to see Aaron Donald really missing Von Miller because he doesn't have the protection that he had last year. Now, I kind of want to go back to, of course, I always go back to Baltimore. It's like 6 degrees of separation. You know, did you agree with them going for it on the 1 yard line? Yeah. And also, you know, what does that say about the belief in the defense? Because that used to be unheard of in Baltimore, that you wouldn't take 3 points to take the lead and put the game in the hands of your defense.
Yeah, back that day with Bart Scott and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Saragusa and all them guys, you know, that would be completely unheard of. My philosophy is take the points. You had a chance to take the lead, and anything can happen. And you have to trust your fellas. You have to trust your boys on defense to come through. You're at home. And the way you lost to the Miami Dolphins at home, probably put a ghost in your head about what could happen. But, you know, you have to move on from that. And you got to take the points, and you got to try to get a win. So I respectfully disagree with John Harbaugh on that.
Sal Palantonio joining us right now on the show. And you are part of the coverage of the Dolphins-Jets game, right, Sunday, ESPN Radio with Steve Levy?
Looking forward to it.
And you know, Sal, you know how I like my Dolphins? With heavy sauce. That's how I like my Dolphins served to me. Heavy sauce.
How much of this game do you expect, like, will the impact of not having Tua be felt? Or do you think, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater, it's the Dolphins should still be the Dolphins?
No, I mean, you know, I think it's a bad matchup for the Jets from one specific perspective. You know, you go back and you look at Josh Boyer's defense and the way he runs a lot of games up front. He runs a lot of stunts, a lot of loops on his defensive line, and that's the way he generates pressure. He also blitzes at a rate of 33%, which is the highest in the AFC. And the Jets have offensive line moving parts. You know, they got a lot of tackles that are on IR, and they've had to move some things around. And this will be the top blitzing team that Zach Wilson has faced in his very young career. And Josh Boyer really knows what he's doing and how to generate pressure or the illusion of pressure on the quarterback. This will be a very difficult matchup for the young Zach Wilson and that offensive line that's got some injuries.
Here's what I like about this matchup for the Jets standpoint, Sal. I like the fact that DJ Reed is a short, stocky, competitive corner. I think that they should play cover two, of course, over the top of Waddle and over the top of Hill. But I like the fact that he should be able to try and get hands-on and be physical enough at the line of scrimmage that, you know, you can try and, you know, stop the big play. I like the way that the defensive line is starting to generate some type of pressure. But the fact that the Dolphins don't really run the ball particularly well gives me hope that you can sneak that other defender into the pass coverage. And on the other side, you know, I like the fact that Elijah Moore came back to life underneath Zach Wilson because Flacco failed to find him. And, you know, they're going to have to put some resources on Garrett Wilson. And, you know, I don't know if they go with the Bengals type of philosophy where you put, you know, Howard on him and, you know, give that matchup and maybe the young kid can win one like T. Higgins did. But the fact that Elijah Moore in the slot should be an advantage and Breece Hall out of the backfield matchup on some of these linebackers should be advantage Jets. I know that, you know, they have to get used to picking up all these games and losing Max Mitchell didn't help, but I was really impressed with the fact that Avere Tucker can move out to left tackle. At least you have left side, strong side, And they'll be able to go probably two tight ends with Coughlin and Uzama, but it's going to stop a lot of that blitzing because you have a lot of blitz packages. Not too many blitz packages in Tiger personnel because you have seven to pick up if you add extra blitzers there. But those tight ends are tight ends that can receive the ball as well. As you look at Conklin the last couple of weeks, like eight receptions, he's averaging about six per contest, and those have been big explosive plays.
I agree with you about AVT going to the left side. I thought he was an unsung hero last week, no question about it. But they'll be tested big time by the Dolphins D. I do think, you know, going back to your original point, I like a cover two. Keep everything in front of you and just get after Teddy Bridgewater, you know, early and often in the game, force him into mistakes, force him into turnovers, force him into panicking, you know, and play cover two, get nosy at the line of scrimmage, make sure nobody gets a free release, and then send an extra pass rusher or two at Teddy Bridgewater early in the downs.
Yep, cover two and cover five, which is just a man version of cover two with help for both sides, and also, you know, freeing up some of those linebackers as well. You know, what scares me is the tight end. But, Sal, I'm going to be excited. I know you're going to do the storytelling part at a level that we rarely see.
Yeah, so no doubt about that. You'll get Sal Palantoni with Steve Levy on the call on ESPN Radio, the Jets and the Dolphins. And the coverage starts at noon Eastern, of course, on ESPN Radio. Sal, always good to talk to you. I'll be at the game. I'll try to see if I can stop by and catch you.
I'll get a case of blueberries to Alan, too. He'll have you ready.
I'll deliver the Cheerios. All the best, Sal.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We return to your calls. And also, by the way, last night, if there's any indication in the NBA this year, let the tanking begin. I will explain. Bart and Hahn.
Let's go, Knicks.
ESPN Radio.
Need a center.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay, and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Well, come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers, and you can apply online today. So, Bart, did you, with everything going on last night, did you watch any hoop?
I did.
And
I
watched a lot of yapping.
I watched a preview on NBA station. I saw you with your post game with Wally, mm-hmm. with your suit on with the
was it
like chocolate or something? You had like some white dots on it or something like that. What's the tie? The tie.
Oh, the tie. No, the tie was a black tie. Well, black tie, white shirt.
Brown,
and it was
a
just
bit.
No, it was black. And there was like a little bit of like the color in the suit was in the tie. Like the little design and
coordinate.
Coordinate. They were making fun of my hair last night.
Why?
So I need a new barber. I don't know. How's it look? There you go. You got to get it to wave a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to get some air. Yeah. Time.
So you're pissed on. Not so good.
It's the preseason. Hold on. Are we really talking about preseason? Like, this is a young team.
Listen.
They just got to camp, a week ago?
I'm sorry. Did they keep score?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Okay, so the Nets.
Did they keep score?
So the Nets lost to the Sixers without two of their best players.
Don't matter. Did they keep score?
Okay. All right, so.
Oh, haven't you always said that? Did they keep score? Well, if the scoreboard's on, it matters.
Listen, enjoy your preseason victories.
I did.
Because your regular season victories, you'll be miserable by December 1st.
I mean, just let's get there first, all right? But I'll tell you what, though, I do have some good news for you. Despite getting blown out last night at the Garden to the Knicks, the Pistons were blown out. You do know that, right? Despite that happening, you might be onto something. Because losing could be the new winning in the NBA this year. You know why? Because something was happening in Nevada last night that had the entire league watching, literally. We're talking about, like, players were there. Chris Paul in the building. You had scouts from every team here watching this game between the G League Ignite and this Metropolitans 92 team from France. Why? Because two 18-year-olds went head-to-head, and it was special. It was Scoot Henderson.
37.
Is on the G League Ignite team, and he is a player. Absolute, like, just all-around talented wing player. But then there's this guy that everybody's been talking about.
Seven foot five,
Victor Wembanyama. And this guy does everything. He's Giannis with KD's shot.
What is it?
And KD's handles. Think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. He's a freak, and he's bigger than Giannis.
Yeah.
He's got a wingspan of almost 8 feet. Block shots left and right, and he made seven threes. Dude, 7 out of 11, right? It was insane, his performance.
7 out of 11, said like 65% from the beyond the arc.
He was 7 for 11, yes. He was 11 for 20 from the field. He had 5 block shots. And there was just everybody was gushing over his potential. Now, he's super skinny.
Chet Holmstrom.
He's got that, yeah. He's got a little bit of that kind of body to him, though he moves just so smoothly. He's got a little bit of that Porzingis vibe. He's got a little bit of that Chet Holmgren vibe.
But he can create
his
shot.
But he's also got a KD vibe as well.
He's not a spot up. Like, you got to. He don't post up. He can create his own stuff.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
I mean?
He brought it up the floor. Dribble. He brought the ball up the floor. So, but this is basically, everybody believes that's your number one and number two pick of the draft. And either guy, because Henderson is a baller. He's good.
He went for 28, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, again, a little more all-around game because just a playmaker, willing passer, all those things. Bart, I'm telling you, last night, the buzz around the league was, you know what? If you don't think you're that good this year, be really bad. Because you'll have a higher percentage chance to get one of these two guys, and these are considered to be generational talents.
So the Knicks will get pick number 7. And the Le Pistons. I know.
That's hurtful.
I know the Spurs are trying to get it, and the Le Pistons will be fifth.
The Jazz.
And they'll get there.
The Thunder have a million picks, and you know they're not going to try to win. Yeah. They can get a guy like that.
As what part do they let Shai Gilgeous go?
Well, that's the feeling. There's some people who think that because, you know, he's got a big contract too. They gave him the extension, and with all these young guys that they have drafted now, they've got some really. Josh Giddey's a really good player, and he's kind of like a point guard. So, you know, what's Shai going to? Are they going to move him at some point this season? And you know who will be first in line with all them damn draft picks burning a hole in their pocket?
Utah?
No, man. Utah?
It ain't the Knicks.
Bing bong.
Hell yeah.
Then get out of here, man. I have no faith in the Knicks landing a big anything.
Yeah. I mean,
too much scar tissue.
History kind of gives you reason to not believe, but I'm just telling you, it's real. But we have talked a lot about how we hate tanking. Adam Silver has talked about ways that they're trying to get away from it, including the 7-10 play-in, which has helped. Because now more than two-thirds of the league is a playoff team. But when you see talent like this, I wonder if there's a couple of teams that suddenly will just say,
Little Pistons, they're young.
I'm out.
Little Pistons.
Like, you just tap out on the season because you have a chance to get a player or one of these players. It's going to be real interesting to watch how this goes on. Because I'm telling you, I watched a little bit of this. I was really impressed with Henderson. I mean, Wembanyama is a really difficult, like, because of his body type.
It's no comp. You don't know if you're on the list, Frank. We saw what happened to Chet.
That's what you always worry about.
And stepping on somebody's foot, trying to handle the ball, his body, his joints not used to being able to handle
that. His mother was a basketball player. His father was a long jumper, so he's got, like, that athletic, you know, pedigree.
It's in his DNA.
But he's so damn tall. You've never seen anything like this.
Well, we took Darko, so, I mean, we'll be right online and take it. Come on over.
Yeah, that's
this the evolution of Bobo.
You guys will get this the evolution, pick, and you'll pass for like someone else.
This is the evolution of Bobo. Bobo got a lot of that too.
Bobo has
too.
None of this.
Hold on. Bobo can shoot the three.
No.
Can he not? Bobo can shoot
Bobo
the three.
Bobo shoots the three like you shoot Bobo the three. Every now and then it might go
Bobo
in.
Bobo can got he got handles.
Come on now.
You don't think Bobo got handles? He starts to break at 7-3.
A lot of teams don't think Bobo has handles. If he did, he never played in Denver.
He hurt his foot.
You know, I was buying you a jersey.
He was supposed to go to Detroit.
I know.
Then they wouldn't have to tank because they'll be where they need to be. Bobo has that same type of game, man. Don't be sleeping on Bobo.
He does not have the same type of game as this guy.
He don't have the same type of hype coming in, but he does handle the rock. He can shoot the three.
Your dedication to certain players like Dom Smith.
Bobo.
Is there any? Who else is it that you are just dedicated to that you would refuse
Denzel
to?
Denzel Mims.
That's different, though. That's a jet. Those other names are just irrational. Like, you just love them.
I'm serious, man.
They can do no wrong.
Bobo, come on, man.
I need you to be this passionate about Matt Barzal. Can you be this passionate about Matt Barzal?
Who's that, hockey?
Yes. The Islanders' talented forward. He just signed an 8-year extension, so he gets to stay. They don't lose him, the free agency, at least. You need to have that kind of irrational passion for
him. Why are the Islanders letting us down, man? Like, why do they stink? 2 years ago, we thought they were going to be a Final Four team. Yeah, what's going on, man?
Yeah, they had a step back last year, so.
Yeah,
we'll see.
What do they think they are, the Red Sox?
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm told some folks have some beef with us. We got to handle that next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Any concern at all, Bart, about the Mets as they, I mean, are they backing into the playoffs? Are we hearing a little beep, beep, beep?
I don't know if it's backing. Beep, they're still a good team, beep, but, you know, they set themselves up for a hell of an obstacle course. Beep, you talk about, you know, having to see the Padres, but then after that, going to see the Dodgers, who people believe are their most complete team. I know the Braves will have something to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you know, you talk about consistency, Kershaw coming back, starting to get healthy, their rotation, the fact that they don't have a high chase rate. What gives you a little hope is the fact that, you know, they did, you know, lose to the Mets during the season, so I thought it was important. But now you got to add traveling, short rest, all that type of stuff. The moment the Dodgers have been there, the Mets have not. How does that, you know, factor into everything?
A lot of it factors in. I mean, look, your two main pitchers have been there, right? I think that's the most important part, is you've got still the strength is the fact that you have Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. Their previous starts notwithstanding.
Yeah.
You have those two guys. That should be enough, right?
Should be.
It's the offense that you worry about, isn't it? Not enough power, not enough pop.
Marte is hurting them. You know what I mean? The fact that Marte's not there outside, his timely hitting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason they lost to the Braves. Marte having a bat, he just comes up with the clutch hit. You needed somebody that can come up with some hits. That's the problem. They couldn't get on base, leaving runners on base. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's coming back anytime soon. You talk about that thumb, man. That's a shame. You know, just another example of them taking hits on the, you know, all year. Most hit team in the league. You know what I'm saying? I think it was a setup from the beginning, son.
It was a what?
Setup, man. They've been hitting the Mets all year. Jam them, hitting with the ball.
So you think that's what it is?
Well, it got Marte out.
So you think this was a conspiracy?
Probably. Why are you laughing?
I wasn't.
You almost choked.
You don't think that the Mets are just kind of
unlucky?
No, I don't say unlucky. But they went through a slump at the worst time. You don't think they can just get this thing back on track?
I didn't say they could.
They were red hot.
But I'm saying without Marte.
And so were the Braves. They never were able to get separation because of what the Braves did, but they played amazing baseball.
Marte's like Judge not having Giancarlo or Rizzo. You need that protection.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And without him, he's a veteran clutch hitter. That's a lot of pressure to put on Pete Alonso.
Offense just needs to be
second
opportunistic.
Best player in baseball.
Pitching is your strength. We're back in 10.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we've got Scott in Minnesota hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Love the show. It's entertaining, informative, and funny. And I used to listen to news radio, but I listen to you guys every day.
Love it. Thank you.
I just called in. And I hope you guys are really living the life outside of work. I got a bust on Bart Scott, though.
Why? What'd I do?
He keeps saying Aaron Judge has done this and Aaron Judge has done that, but he hadn't done nothing for the team. I just want to bring up a couple of points. I don't know if you know how to calculate it, but runs produced is runs scored, runs batted in minus home runs.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 200 runs produced. That's 1/4 of the team's total this year. And you have to go all the way back to George Foster in 77 to find somebody that's done that, if I'm not mistaken. And you keep saying that Lamar Jackson is the second coming and he should get $300 million, but he hasn't won anything either.
He won an MVP, but also, first of all, that's Allen that said that. I didn't even say that.
Who said
that? I've been said pay the man his money. I said I hope the Mets get him because they need a power bat and protection for Pete Alonso. I didn't say that. I said, listen, he hasn't performed in a postseason, and the Yankees are about championships. And if he hasn't performed in a postseason, if he has a bad postseason like he's had in previous years, then what do the Yankees decide to do? I said he's worth every dime, and the fact that they can make the judge chambers of PSL and people will pay it, and they don't even get free food or liquid. You know, and all the other places, you get scrimps, you get crawfish. You ever been in there? That room they have, like when you go there and it's like the cushy seats, and like the bougie seats you get. You can go into the room and get all that food.
I walked in there accidentally, and I got thrown out. They asked me for a credential. I didn't have one.
You missed out, bro. They got steak.
Yeah.
Lobster.
It was on my plate. The guy took the plate from me. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge's WAR this season is 10.7, leads the league. People are arguing Shohei Ohtani could be an MVP candidate. He's behind Judge at 9.5. It's a whole point.
Yeah. I mean, this has been a historical year. I mean, I tell you what, man, but with how Trout is playing, like, if he stays healthy next year, you can look at Aaron Judge. I'm just saying, man.
I fell asleep. You're talking about Mike Trout and the Angels.
What I'm saying is he got 40 in less than 100 games. I mean, if you project
I understand.
Man, he can be right there.
Well, maybe he needs to be on a team that actually cares about winning. Ray is in Toronto. What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, listen, I got a separate question for both of y'all. Hey, first of all, I'm a huge fan of both of y'all, man. But Bahan, I'm going to start with you because I got a little quarrel with you, man.
What's up?
So I heard you talking about the teams you like in baseball and the playoffs earlier, but I didn't hear you mention Toronto Blue Jays at all. And listen, man, Verducci from MLB Network actually likes Toronto to make it to the World Series. And not only that, Buster Olney predicted that Toronto would win the World Series. I'm pretty sure he said win, or at the minimum make it to the World Series.
On our show.
In April.
Yeah, he said that on our show, Ray. You're right, and I was with him at the time. In April, I was the one with Buster. We were both talking about like how I'm expecting big things out of Toronto. I was, but it hasn't really happened. Mainly the pitching has been the problem. They've had some injuries as well, and it's like they're that team that you feel like they're not there yet, but you know that they're kind of coming, you know what I mean? So that's it. But when Astros are the team that everybody's trying to beat, and the team that has the best formula to beat them is the Mariners. That's a reality.
Allen hates Canadians.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but yeah.
You know that. You know that.
He's a Yankee fan, and he hates the young Bombers.
Listen. If you send me back to Alberta, I'll go to Alberta in a heartbeat, man. That beer is like moonshine. I love it in Alberta, so don't even try.
You'll visit. You wouldn't live there.
What are you talking about? Love Canada. How dare you?
New York.
Hey, Ray, you had something for Bart, though?
Oh, why you want to put him on me?
Yeah, I got something for Bart, too. Hey, Bart, listen, I got a question for you, man. Hey, this is a serious question, man. Do you think the NFL will ever work in Toronto? And I'm asking you because we got, I think, the sixth or seventh largest city in North America, and we got the third or fourth largest market in North America, man. So that's my question for you,
Man. Yeah, of course. It's a huge media market, and when you go there, it reminds you of New York. But I just think the Buffalo Bills would not like that because that's their fan base.
Would they block that?
I think they would. Because
they would?
When I first got here, we used to play a series in Toronto that we played the Bills the first 2 years I was here. We played them in Toronto. You know, they control that fan base, and I think they want to make sure they control that and keep it because that would take a huge amount of viewership away from the Bills and kind of shrink their marketplace and their fan base.
I think for the NFL, I mean, it'd be great if you could put a team there.
Listen, like they think
but
the,
if
Buffalo
the Bills,
Bills
wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just because
they play in Toronto.
Thank you,
sometimes.
Ray. Yeah, no, I know that they've had games up there. I'm just saying it's a shame because for the NFL, that'd be a great market to be in, you know, but they're not.
And you have that team, much like the Raptors, it supports the country. It's like the country's team.
Yeah, like they do the Raptors, yeah. Dan Dugan, The Athletic, reporting that Sterling Shepard was saying that he didn't tear any ligaments outside the ACL, and he thinks he actually tore it partially two plays before, and then
it
finally
popped. Yeah, he was just running straight.
On that play. That brings back memories because that's literally what happened to me.
Yeah, don't blame it on the turf.
Yeah,
these young dudes ain't made out what they used to be made out of.
Wide receivers on
get
the
some
Giants.
Mutant blood.
London, the Giants, and the Packers. Bloody we'll see blokes. You tomorrow. Week 5 begins.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.